part to the story. Cody, while I'm sitting here on break, we had a guest on 2 or 3 weeks ago to talk about, he's a former Satanist, and he's talking about Halloween or what have you, stuff that goes on. He said that the linchpin to the satanic control, that the curse that they're basically pulling on this country, the linchpin is involved with abortion and pedophilia, child trafficking. Pedophilia and abortion. That's why, it was one of the reasons why I'm asking about this. Did you see, you know, pedophilia? What did you see involved with the Clintons there in Arkansas or whatever you were involved in? What did you see involved that?
Well, I didn't see any of it myself because I will not tolerate that. If I see anyone abusing a child of any kind, I immediately resort to violence. I don't talk. I don't do anything. I stop it. Because I'm totally and completely against hurting children. I don't care what country you're in. And when they hurt them, and then, you know, the CIA had their Monarch program and all that stuff with the mind control. We can talk about that later. But in Arkansas, Kathy O'Brien, she was a CIA sex slave, and she was done that way in mind control.
Whoa, stop there. Whoa. Back up. I hate to interrupt you, but I have to. Define a CIA sex slave. What does that even mean? And then continue on.
CIA what?
What does a CIA sex slave, what does that mean? What do they do? And then continue with the story.
When they mind control someone, they condition a subject in such a way that they end up acting without consciously thinking. And so in the MK Ultra CIA mind control program, they had 149 sub-projects of various kinds. One of the things they did was ritual sexual abuse. They traumatized a subject's mind at a young age, usually between 2 to 5 years of age, and the cognitive dissonance threshold cuts in. That's the point at which your mind sees so much trauma it just blanks out. And so alternate personalities are formed, and they have trigger symbols that they use to control, and they flip, a handler flips the mind controlee between personalities. And that way they can get them to pass messages, they can get them to be sex slaves, they can get them to be assassins like Sirhan Sirhan, and so forth. And it's a Manchurian candidate type of thing. And, you know, I can talk on that for 2-3 hours, but,
continue on. Kathy O'Brien.
Yeah, Kathy O'Brien, was one of the Monarch program mind controlees, and she was what's called a presidential model. She later wrote a book with Mark Phillips, Transformation of America, where she told the story of how she was sent around to these different things. And she said that she had sex with Hillary Clinton and Bill too, and also with their seven-year-old daughter named Kelly, who was also a mind controller, because this stuff's Illuminati-based. It's multi-generational. And so, anyway, to make a long story short, she was involved.
Did you mean Chelsea? Cody, did you mean their daughter Chelsea? Or you said their daughter Kelly.
Kelly.
Did you mean their daughter Chelsea?
No, I meant CIA asset sex slave Kathy O'Brien had a daughter named Kelly.
Okay, I got you.
She's now in a mental institution and everything, but in her book, she details, you know, sexcapades with a lot of the politicians and how many of our politicians in D.C. and also other ones around the world are involved in pedophile rings and so forth. So I never saw any of that myself. Our operations dealt with moving arms down into Central America. And then when the drugs were brought back here, mostly cocaine, those drugs were moved in a separate network. My job was arms and weapons. So that's what I saw, and that's what I did. And I've been asked that question about pedophile rings, if I ever saw any. I know about them. I've heard people talk about them, and there's a huge sex slave trade with young girls and boys and stuff all around the world. But if I don't participate in that. If I see any of it, I immediately resort to violence. I don't know.
All right, then Let me ask you this question this way, and this is just your opinion. Obviously, you didn't see it directly. From your experience, what you kind of felt, saw, whatever, would it be accurate to say that there is a very high-level, organized ring of child abuse, probably satanic in nature, at the highest levels of a government, really throughout America and throughout the world? Would you feel like that's accurate?
Absolutely. It's the underpinning of the New World Order. Of the bankers, the control, it's all back to Satanism and demonic activity, witchcraft. Some of the witch covens and witch cults, they do child sacrifice. They do drink the blood. There is a whole level up above the drug and arms business worldwide, the black ops business, that would really shock most Americans, but it's absolutely real. They use people as sex slaves and mind controllees to do things that they normally wouldn't do, and they start them out at a real young age. You wonder where all these missing children go? They go somewhere. Some of them die.
Oh my God.
Some of them are used. Some of the witch cults at the highest level, they have witch covens. They do all kinds of things that are just absolutely atrocious, and it's based on Satanism.
Yeah, let's not get too much into details, because that'll really bend our audience and bend me too. But how pervasive is it? Is it just right below the surface and so big that we just don't even realize it, or is this paranoia or small or what?
Well, it's fairly prevalent, but it's higher up in the higher levels of power, and so it's not seen. It's hidden mostly. Once in a while, something erupts. Like the priests in the Catholic Church doing what they do with sexual stuff. But most of this is all hidden. It's hidden in high level, usually very wealthy people of position and people in power, and it's prevalent.
Is that how they get in their position? Or is that how they get in their position? Is that how they get their position? They're connected somehow. It's like they're protecting their fellow witches or whatever. It's like they're,
well, yeah, and some of them have to be in bloodlines. You have to be in the bloodline, to be in some of these witch cults and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's real, and I would ask people to Google some of it up, start typing in and doing some research into some of these witch covens, Illuminati, demonic and satanic ritual and so forth. If you're of the light, this stuff is very abrasive. It's the total opposite of your whole spiritual vibration. We try to speak truth and they speak lies. We believe in freedom and they believe in total control and slavery. And so it's a total, complete opposite of what the average, good old American thinks. But this stuff does go on. It's absolutely real.
Is that kind of the part of the reason that people don't believe it? Because it's so far out of their paradigm. That's like, oh, that couldn't be true. There can't be people in power. I voted for these people. They're on TV. They're respectable. Is that part of the big problem here? We just can't admit that to ourselves?
Right. It's the CDT threshold, which the CIA studied in their MKUltra mind control projects extensively, the cognitive dissonance threshold. When you've been spoon-fed lies, and I've been around the world and seen stuff all around the world, but America has a lot of propaganda in it. The stuff we're being fed on the mainstream media is so much lies. It's don't get me started, but anyway, we've been lied to a lot. And some of our most cherished beliefs about America and about our government are illusions. They're carefully concocted in programs of strategic deception and propaganda. We have been in a psyops, a psychological operation warfare state here in our country. The media, they use disinformation as something that media outlets use to make people believe that something false is really true. And cover is something that uses media outlets to cause people to believe that something true is really false. So they use different disinformation and cover in the media, and they lie to us over and over and over, like Benghazi is an example, and the Clintons is another example, and the drug war in South America. And then we believe all this stuff, and then when someone does come and tells the truth, it seems so radical and so shocking that our CDT threshold cuts in, and we blank it out, and people roll their eyes. And you've got to remember, Daniel, CIA created the term conspiracy theory. They knew there was
that's right. That's,
from their operation,
that's right.
John Kennedy was
Jack
murdered
Kennedy.
In Dallas.
That's right.
And they knew a lot of people would not buy their flimsy, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald patsy story. And so they created that term conspiracy theory to help handle the civilian blowback in our country. And in the Mirabilling, when it blew up, we can get into the reasons why they did that if you want. But they should.
Yeah, we will. Let me clarify. You kept saying CDT, Charlie David Thomas. That means cognitive dissonance threshold. That means the normal person, they have a threshold that's like you can tell them that these atrocities are going on and they won't even, it's like it's a block. They can't even believe it. Is that basically what you're saying by that?
Yeah, every human being in their conscious, subconscious mind, the medulla oblongata, the reptilian brainstem, the way our brains work, we have a self-protection mechanism built in, okay? And so when there's too much shock or too much trauma all at once, your mind blanks out in a natural mode of self-protection. And so soldiers that have PTSD, for instance, when they go through a real horrific battle, a lot of times they'll come back and say, what happened? Well, they debrief them, and they say, well, you don't remember. And then it starts coming back in bits and pieces, like maybe through dreams or little memories that show up. And then finally you remember it. But the CDT is just a natural self-protective mechanism in your mind to protect you from things that are so radical and so different than what you know. And that's the CIA uses that in their mind control techniques.
Is the CIA controlling, would it be fair to say the CIA controls corporate media in America flat out?
I would say they exhibit a large degree of control. We have a section here in this book about Operation Mockingbird, which was back in the 50s when TV was taking radio over after the war. It was replacing radio. And in that, one of the CIA directors testified to Congress, said that at one point 400 CIA agents planted in the U.S. media, CBS, Time Warner, all the rest of them.
Oh, my gosh.
To manipulate the data. And before the American people saw it. Yeah, we're being controlled big time.
There's the music on the other side. We'll get into Waco and then straight to the OKC building. Cody Snodgrass, the book Choosing the Light. Stay tuned. We're speaking with Cody, Choosing the Light, the book. Cody, you mentioned churches earlier. Did you see any connection with arms, with drugs, what have you, between the church and what the CIA operations were doing, or any church?
Yeah, personally, I did not, but one of my handlers was a guy named Duke Flaglier, who had, I can say his name, he's dead now, of Agent Orange. He did two tours in Vietnam and Special Forces. But when he accepted civilian recruitment for the CIA, he was stationed in Europe, and he personally told me stories over there about the Vatican Bank and how the Vatican Bank washed a lot of drug and arms money. You know, the KGB, FSB in Russia, MI6 in Britain, and Israeli Mossad over there, and the CIA also had counts, and they were washing stuff through there. And then it went into Switzerland and various numbered accounts and so forth. But you got to remember, when you're talking about the largest heroin crop in history, you know, opium, that's a big one, and there's a lot of money. It's hundreds of billions of dollars, and you can't just put it in a bank. So they have a whole banking system and a whole thing, and the Vatican Bank was part of it, yeah.
You meant, you know, I thought it came to mind. You mentioned the CDT, the cognitive dissonance threshold that Americans have, or people naturally have. Is it just too, the reason this stands, because it's just too big of a pill to swallow. If you were to tell America people, yes, your son went to, or daughter went to the Middle East, went to Afghanistan to fight, not to free people over there, not to protect our interests, but to protect heroin crop and to develop heroin and the CIA could sell it so they could get more power. So then they could lie to you on the media and then they could control you even more. That's exactly the route. Is that just too big of a lie or too big of a pill for people to swallow?
Well, it depends on your station and, you know, what kind of your past is. But I have officers that are majors in intelligence and in the Army in foreign countries. I'm not going to say their country, but they're real good friends of mine. I saved their life before. And they left Kabul, Afghanistan, and went through Baghdad, came straight here to Colorado Springs where they have the NORTHCOM, and then got a rent car, drove straight up here to me, and told me right to my face, you know, they won't talk on the phone or anything. They just attended briefings with generals where they ordered them to guard the opium crops. The Taliban had just about eradicated a lot of it over there in Afghanistan because of their Islamic fundamentalism, their Muslim beliefs. And then when the U.S. went in there, one of the reasons we're there is to, you know, get the opium. That's a good black ops source. And so did you ever think that all this fake opiate crisis over here that just started in the last year or two might be a way to push legitimate people that get opiates back into the black market where the CIA makes more money? So you got to look at this black as white and white as black. And another reason we're over in Afghanistan is that the Brightest Oil Corporation had leases over there. There's $12 trillion, that's with a T, proven reserves of natural gas and oil in the Caspian Sea. Also, in the Tora Bora Mountains and the other mountains around there, there's large deposits of rare earth minerals like molybdenum and lithium. And as you know, Daniel, all our batteries and our laptops and our phones, everything's lithium, you know, lithium-ion battery. And so we have a presence there not only for the drugs, but also for a strategic thing so the Chinese can't go in there. The Chinese have been going around the world sucking up natural resources for their economy. And so that's one reason we're there. But the drugs certainly help a lot of black ops and a lot of shadow government activities around the world.
We're going to continue. We're going to get into Waco and the Murrow Building, I promise, ladies and gentlemen, at least. but just quickly, we got about a minute before the break. In about 30 seconds to a minute, what would you tell somebody, the average American who might be listening to this, who has no, you know, just like, oh, my God, this is, I never heard this stuff before. What do they need to know? What would you tell them if you were face-to-face with them, had 40 seconds to tell them?
Well, I'd tell them to hold the light in their heart and open their minds, open their eyes. The reason this deep state has grown so big with all this corruption in our government is because Americans have been asleep at the wheel, and now it's time to wake up. We have an opportunity to save our country, and we have an opportunity to make it a better place for our children and not be slaves to the New World Order and get a microchip in our arm. It's time to wake up. It's time to look at reality, not the spoon-fed lies from the media. They're lying to you. It's strategic deception. It's mind control, and they put us all to sleep.
And the end result is basically total control. They want to take our will, take our consciousness, take our body, take our... It's total control. Is that what I'm hearing from you? That's the goal.
Full-spectrum dominance. That's what the Jade Helm operations were about. You can Google those up. Full-spectrum dominance. That's what it's called in the Pentagon.
The music is starting. I took a deep breath. We're going to get into Waco and an OKC situation. And then at the end, we're going to talk about why you're doing this, where we are, again, more into this, what point in history are we at, what can we do here with Cody Snodgrass. He's a real American hero, ladies and gentlemen. There's not too many people in his position that will get in front of a microphone all across the country and tell this. God bless you and God keep you, Cody. Choosing the Light's the book. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Cody, the book Choosing the Light, just quickly, how can people get a copy of this book? I know you've had a ton of trouble, a ton of censorship and what have you, but how can they get this book?
Yeah, they can get the book. Just email me at CodyGoldenElk@yahoo.com. That's my Indian name. I'm part Cherokee, so they can do that. Both our websites have been hacked and completely shut down. They sent us weaponized viruses. We've been over a month trying to fix them. It's real high-level stuff. Our main website is lightonconspiracies.com. And so we have 35,000 pictures and a whole bunch of files, and it's all been really trashed. We're working on getting it back up. So right now, just contact me, and we'll see about getting people a book.
Cody Golden, Cody Golden Elk at yahoo.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get into Waco. Obviously, we know what the story has been told about David Koresh and what have you. He was some evil cult leader, and he just had to go. But what really happened there?
Yeah, February 28th, 1993. That's when Waco went. And I didn't say this before, but the ATF agent Blake Butler that I was involved with in ATF DEA Operation Stingray, he showed up at Waco. We have him on film. He was there. He was at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, with that fiasco up there with Randy Weaver, and then he was supposed to be working at the Murrah Building April 1995 when it blew up, but mysteriously wasn't there that day. So the thing with Waco is I knew a guy named Ron Cole, and he was a Branch Davidian, and he told me this stuff straight to my face, and I'm going to tell you the story without any frills or anything as he told it to me. He said that he was there at the compound in Waco, and he was good friends with David Koresh, and his mother got sick in Florida. So Ron flew to Florida, and about a day or two later, the story broke, on February 28th, 1993, when ATF started that ruckus down there. And he called, when he saw it on the news, he immediately called David Koresh, and he said, "What happened?" And Koresh told him that the Branch Davidians were all sitting around there one day, and these trucks with cattle trucks pulled up in the yard. And there was no markings or anything. And the Branch Davidian compound dogs ran out and started barking at them. And the ATF shot the dogs and then began shooting at the house. And they had 2 4-by-8 steel doors at the front of this thing. And so Koresh and the Branch Davidians returned fire. Now, that's a totally different story from what the ATF told. Well, anyway,
yes,
Koresh had been hit. And so when Ron called him on the phone, he had already been shot. And then while they were talking, the feds cut the phone line. And so Ron left his mother in Florida and flew back, got into Waco. And by that time, the feds had set around a perimeter around the place and started bringing in all their equipment and everything. And some of the other Branch Davidians that were around town, you know, shopping and so forth, that weren't in the compound at the time, they all gathered together. And they got outside the perimeter, and they set up a camp, and they started watching and trying to figure out what was going on. And every night, Ron said they would see tracers. He didn't know quite what they were. There were orange and yellow streaks coming down. There were helicopters flying with no lights and no markings. They were all black. And they were flying around the Branch Davidian compound. And they said, "Wait, what is this stuff?" You know, they had binoculars. They were trying to figure out what it was. And somebody walked up in the darkness, you know, and he said, "Well, I've got some night vision equipment. And you can look." And so they said, "What's happening?" And they said, those are helicopters machine gunning up the compound at night." And they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Timothy McVeigh." He's the one that got him the night vision. He said, "I was in Desert Storm." He was a tank commander and everything. And so he told them that, you know, these guys are civilians, Ron Cole, and they don't know military tactics. He said that that's a standard Delta Force or military tactic where if there are shooters up at a high level in a building, you always take away the high ground. You use suppression fire to push them down. And that way they can't shoot as far from a lower level, which allows the perimeter team to collapse the perimeter and get closer to the building. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Why were they a threat?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what was happening there. And then, of course, we were all fed the government cover story and everything else, but the truth is that they were murdering these people without a trial, extrajudicially and unconstitutionally. And then later on, when that was April 19th of 1993, now it's exactly 2 years to the day before the Murrah Building was to detonate, there was 53 24 dead and 21 children dead when this thing happened. And they lied to Governor Ann Richardson down there to get the tanks off Fort Hood. That's where my stepdad did his basic infantry training for the 25th Infantry Division before he was deployed to Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and Guadalcanal in World War II. And they lied to Governor Richardson and got those tanks off of there. They waited for a windy day, and then they burned that compound down. And that way it covered up all the evidence of the dead bodies from the suppression fire. And they've been doing night after night, you know, machine gunning them up. And so he said that Koresh was not a pedophile, or they didn't have a meth lab down there. The reason why the feds cooked that meth lab story up and said the Branch Davidians were making meth was so there's a loophole in federal law where you can violate the Posse Comitatus Act and use military assets on civilian law enforcement if there's drugs involved, see. So that's why they cooked that lie up. And by the way, at the trial later on, they never found any evidence of a meth lab or any evidence whatsoever. And the two 4x8 doors, the steel doors, they had been taken to ATF holding. They were subpoenaed by the defense team to see which way the bullet holes were going in or out. And those bullet holes would have shown who started the firefight there. And so when they subpoenaed them, the ATF said the two 4x8 steel doors were lost out of the evidence room. So they did the next best thing and got two Texas Rangers who had come after the fire when the compound was all burned down and had seen the doors laying in the ashes. And they were going to get their testimony because they had testified in depositions that the bullets were coming from the outside in, which means the feds started the firefight. So just before these two Texas Rangers were going to testify in the trial, kiddie porn was found on their laptops. And in the book, I've got their names, dates, times, all of this stuff's in the book. A lot of Americans don't know this. And so they were barred since they were on a federal indictment for interstate child porn. Then they could not testify to the trial, at the trial. And then later on, the brothers did get their names cleared after several years of litigation. So this is how they covered all this stuff.
This is how they operate. Yeah, I get it. Exactly. It's typical. We've heard stories like this a million times. Tell me this. Why was the compound, why was David Koresh, why were those people, the Branch Davidians, why were they such a threat?
Well, you know, in the first place, they were selling guns. They'd been going around to the gun shows, and they were pretty big arms dealers down there. When I had my gun shop here in Colorado, it was the biggest machine gun and silencer shop in Colorado. Our compliance officer out of the Denver field office was ATF agent Doug Miller, and he came to my shop right when all this broke off in February 28th, you know, and they wanted to know if I'd sold any weapons to the Branch Davidians because they were trying to figure out what kind of guns they had and what they were doing down there. And I showed him my records, and we didn't deal with any of them or sell them any guns or anything. But that's one of the things they didn't like. And the second thing is they were, you know, a compound, a religious Christian compound. And I don't know all the details in and out of why. There may have been some other things. I'm just telling you the story that Ron Cole told me of when they hit the place.
We've had other people on or basically say that they had records. They were kind of watching some of the drug deals going on, you know, that Mena, Arkansas, whatever, that thoroughfare there between there and Waco, that they had evidence about some of the drug dealing going on. Is that possible?
Well, yeah. I don't know that, but the Branch Davidians, as a church group, before Koresh took over, you know, they did protest at the Rose Law Firm in Little Rock. They were saying that
oh, bingo, there you go.
There was a lot of bad
bingo.
Stuff. Yeah.
Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. Huh? There you go. One more segment with Cody Snodgrass. His email, CodyGoldenElk@yahoo.com. Please email him. You get copies of the books. You can order. He's got them on sale. He can't even get the book out, ladies and gentlemen. And the computer. Stay tuned. ThePowerHour.com. GoldenElk@yahoo.com is his email address. You can order the book and make arrangements with Cody to order that way. No other way right now. He's working on it. But there you go. That's it. Get hold of Cody. Last segment. We're short on time. A couple of very important things. The OKC building. You were offered $1 million to blow it up. You said, whoa, wait a minute. Obviously somebody else. Obviously that whole Timothy McVeigh thing is a charade. Why was the OKC building blown?
Yeah, there's two basic reasons. I got to go through it real quick. When the Clintons were down in Arkansas and the CIA is running those three multiply netted ops down there we talked about before. They had to launder a lot of drug money, move a lot of arms. Domestic law enforcement like the ABI, the Arkansas Bureau of Investigation, and the DEA and the IRS got wind of it, and all the law enforcement investigative records were stored there in the Little Rock FBI field office, and they were later moved to the Murrah building just before it detonated. And so when it blew up, all these records that would implicate the Clintons in many crimes were, of course, lost. Now, later, you know, the other reason why it was blown up, I'm trying to go really fast here, and we got a 700-page book I'm trying to cram into, 5 minutes or something. But basically, we got to go back to the Iran-Iraq war, and Saddam Hussein fought that war with Iran, and we were helping him. He was our ally. He was a paid CIA asset at the time in the Ba'ath Party, and we armed him with depleted uranium weapons. And we had also armed him with the Ames strain of anthrax out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, covertly. The American people didn't know it. So when he invaded Kuwait and we had to demonize him, and then the Saudis put a lot of pressure. I mean, Saddam had tank divisions and stuff right on the Saudi border. And they put pressure on our government, and they cooked up the Desert Storm thing. And so here we had given them secret Ames strain anthrax because Iran enjoyed a 10-to-1 infantry advantage, and they were going to use that as a last-ditch effort. And so we had to come up with an anthrax shot. Normally our shot was one for 6 months to build immunity, so we had to come up with 1 month for one shot. They used squalene as an adjunct. It was a test, guinea pig. It was not FDA tested. All our guys and girls got it going over there, approximately 480,000 troops. It made them all sick. That would later turn into the Gulf War syndrome. Also depleted uranium when it detonated and was using the M1A1 Abrams tanks and so forth. It had a particulate size of about 4 microns. It formed new particles, uranium oxide, uranium dioxide. And our mop gear only went down to 10 microns. So our troops were breathing this stuff. It got in their thyroids and their reproductive glands. So when they came back home and they made love to their spouses, this low-level radiation was being transmitted through semen and other things. And the Pentagon had a huge intergenerational problem on their hand of radioactivity, radioactive poisoning that would be passed down from mother to daughter to granddaughter, and they didn't know how many generations it would go. It's just like the DuPont settlement with the Vietnam veterans and the Agent Orange thing. So make a long story short, Senator Christopher Shea, Republican of Connecticut on the Armed Services Committee, he ordered FBI to get all the records of all these medical problems that were later called the Gulf War Syndrome, and get them together to give medical culpability payments to our sick veterans, and they were stored in the Murrah building. And so when the Murrah building blew up, okay, on April 1995, all those records were lost. And later on September 19th of 1996, the congressional hearings were still going on GWS or Gulf War Syndrome, and they said, I got the paper here in the appendix of the book, the DOD admitted at the hearings, over 400,000 Gulf War Syndrome medical records had, quote, disappeared. So the Pentagon was off the hook.
Oh, my gosh.
For billions and billions.
God.
You got to remember, they didn't know how long these deformities and these radiation problems would be passed down.
How deep it would go. Yeah.
Because the half-life of uranium is millions of years. And so how far will all this go? And meanwhile, all the date crops, you know, Iraq has like 28 kinds of dates. And the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, they all had depleted uranium in them. And the leukemia rate of the children, 10 years later, the UN did a study there in Baghdad. And it was 600% higher than normal. And so there was a lot of pollution with this depleted uranium. It's the first time it's ever used in a war. And also the anthrax shots. That's the basic reason. You know, I've got whole chapters in the books with lot numbers to Dover Air Force Base,
yeah,
details, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, with the evidence, with the details. Yeah, very important. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is extremely important, and I would act very quickly to try to get it. There was a big push to censor him, as there has been for media. Our YouTube channel was canceled. I mean, the things that we go through, many other people, we've seen censorship like never before. We're at a critical stage, I believe. It seems like everything's coming to a head, Cody. Your comment, your thoughts, at some point, knowledge is not enough. So, okay, we know about the problem. well, now what? We have to take action, or basically they're going to shove us in a hole and bury us with dirt over our heads. Where are we as mankind? What is the next step? What do we have to do here?
Well, we're facing organized deception, and we're facing strategic deception. What we Americans are now facing, we are facing one of the biggest propaganda machines in the history of the world, with Google, Facebook, Twitter. You know, they're doing internal algorithms you never see, where they can, AI algorithms can block content and block people sharing it and snuff stories inside, and you never know it. And so we're facing this huge machine, and the counter to it is to get the truth out in any way you can and to stand up against them and expose them and expose the New World Order. You know, I think we need the CIA to help stop terrorist attacks and stuff, but when the CIA performs the terrorist attacks and they're really behind it, concocting a false flag, you know, like Oklahoma City or the 9/11 buildings, then we have to stand up to that. And if we don't, this great evil is going to take us over. We're at a precipice right now, Daniel. Our country is in a bad way. And it's the forces of light versus the forces of darkness. And it's happening, this battle, on a level, mental level, physical level.
I'm going to ask you point blank. Can the average American sitting here that loves America, loves their family, loves God, what have you, can the average American sit there and live their life and let's get through this? Or do they have to do, are we to that point? Do they have to take action?
Yes, I think they do, because the forces of suppression and censorship have really grown just in the last few months and stuff. They're going all out. They're going in their final push. And first thing you do is go vote. You can also arm yourselves, and you can physically, you know, but you can also arm yourselves with the truth, start doing research for yourself, and then spread it to other people. Help wake them up. This is about a great awakening. It's about bringing the truth and bringing the light. And if we don't, we could very well lose our country forever. I do this, bring the light, and for our children, grandchildren.
Cody, God bless you, my friend, for what you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you don't have an idea of this, Cody has risked an awful lot to bring you this knowledge. And you will, and people say, if this was happening, somebody would say something. Okay, here's somebody who's saying something. Okay, take this interview and share it with people.